I wanted to end the service with number 529, day by day. And let me read to you the words of number 529. Day by day and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day, the Lord himself is near me with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares he fain would bear and cheer me. He whose name is Counselor and Power. The protection of his child and treasure is a charge that on himself he laid. As thy days, thy strength shall be in measure. This the pledge to me he made. Help me then in every tribulation so to trust thy promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith's sweet consolation offered me within thy holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, e'er to take as from a father's hand, one by one the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land. If you have your Bibles, take them and turn to Psalm 37, the 37th Psalm. The Lord laid this on my heart over a month ago to share this, and I'm not sure why. I didn't know it was going to be Mother's Day when I first had this, but hopefully it can be of help to each one of us, but especially mothers this morning. It's not necessarily a Mother's Day message, but hopefully it can be a help to you. And I want to start reading in the 29th verse down to the end of the chapter. And notice as I'm reading the difference between the righteous and the unrighteous in this passage. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way. And he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I've seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together, and the end of the wicked shall he or be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. At the end of verse 39, he says, he is their strength in the time of trouble. I want to talk to you this morning a little bit about what you do during times of trouble. If you haven't encountered trouble yet in your life, don't worry, you will. It'll find you, because trouble has a way of finding us. You don't have to look for trouble. It comes looking for you. And it comes in all different forms and shapes and sizes, and in all different kinds of things that we go through in life. I'm not necessarily a negative type of person, but I know that trouble comes. And I know that we are living in troublesome days. Is that not true? And they seem to be getting worse and worse. Some people complain at work, you know, that they have to come into work. And sometimes my answer is, lately, well, just be glad you didn't wake up in Ukraine this morning. Sometimes I say, well, just be glad you didn't wake up in hell this morning. trouble comes our way. Job, in his time of trouble, said that man was made or born into trouble as the sparks fly upward. You know, when you light a fire, the sparks fly upward. That's just normal. And it just seems like trouble can come our ways. And maybe you're not in a season of trouble today, or maybe you are in a season of trouble. But when we think of trouble, we think of God and His deliverance from our trouble. But how do you live in the midst of trials? How do you live in the midst of trouble? Paul, when he was writing to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians, he talked about the trouble that they were going through and the comfort that they would receive from God in their time of trouble. Why? So that they could be a comfort to other people. You see, your trials and your troubles and your tribulations are not meaningless or pointless. They have a reason, they have a purpose. And we need to prepare for trouble on the horizon. We don't know when the Lord is coming back, but it seems that there's troubled days ahead of us. And David was talking about the time of trouble, when the ungodly are seemingly being rewarded for being ungodly, when the ungodly are prospering, when they don't seem to, or they seem to be getting away with things in their life. How do you live in times of trouble? Trouble here means to be narrow. It's a narrow road. It's a tight road. It's a straight road. It's one of distress, where there's adversaries, where there's enemies, where there's the hard pebble. One commentator spoke of trouble as a hard pebble. Ever had a pebble in your shoe and tried to walk with that? It's hard. It hurts. Sometimes trouble is like a flint. How do we live in times of trouble? Well, the psalmist is going to give us good reasons of how to live in times of trouble. And our tendency is to fret and to worry in those times. Is that not true? He starts, in fact, by telling them not to fret. In fact, in this chapter 37, he says in verse 1, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." Verse 7, "Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." Verse 8, "Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil." Four times this word is used in Scripture. Three times found here, once in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 19. Fret not. You know, our tendency is to fret. Our tendency is to worry. Our tendency is to have these cares come upon us, and we fret about them. Anybody here a worrier? Sure. Sometimes we are, right? And it overwhelms you. And someone reckoned worrying is like being in a rocking chair, going back and forth. It seems like you're doing something, but you're not going anywhere. You know, you got motion, but you're not really, nothing's really happening. And fretting can be like that. Generally speaking, God tells us to do what with worry or fretting? And the fretting here is a word that denotes a heart that is boiling, troubled, anxious, not at rest, burning with passion and or anger, on fire with negative emotion. 44 times it's translated kindled, 13 times wroth, 10 times hot, 9 times angry, 4 times displeased, 4 times fret. It's a heart that is boiling over, fretting. It's not at rest. It's not at peace. Is that your heart this morning? It could be. But if it's not today, maybe it will be tomorrow. Not content. And generally speaking, the Bible tells us what to do with worry. You know what it is. Can someone tell me? Be anxious for nothing. But what? In everything. By prayer and supplication. Make your requests known, or with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What do you do with fret? He told us three times in this section, fret not, fret not, fret not. Well, what do I do with it? Pray. Get on your knees and pour out your heart before God who cares about you. And then in 1 Peter, he tells them that there is a war going on, a roaring lion who is seeking to devour and seeking whom he may devour. But before that, he said, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your what? All your care upon him, for he careth for you. You personally, he cares for. I know some of your names here this morning, but I don't know many of your names, and you might not know me, but I do know this. There's a God that cares for you. There's a God that knows your name. There's a God that knows your situation that you're in. There's a God that might know what trouble that you are in today, and he cares for you, and he wants you to cast your care upon him because you can't handle it yourself. And that's an okay thing to be in. We are not to walk through life by ourselves. We are to walk through life with God and with one another. And we're to care one for another. And so, generally speaking, he says, fret not. But how do you take a heart that is boiling and troubled and anxious and not at rest, that is burning and on fire with all this negative emotion and worry and care? How do we go from that to peace and tranquility and rest and contentment? Because that's what God would have for us as well. And I want to give you what I believe David gave them in this passage. Verse 3 says, trust in the Lord. Verse 4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord. Verse 5 says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Verse 7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And then verse 34 says, wait on the Lord and keep his ways. Sometimes our heart gets out of balance, and we're not responding to life as we ought to. At work, I work in a plant that makes windows, and many years I ran a CNC, a computerized numerical control router, huge router. It was 144 inches by 60 inches, and it had all these heads on them, and you would program them in, and it would take the tools and route out the parts that you wanted to make. Well, it worked well unless you put in the wrong tool in the wrong space, or you programmed it wrong and it crashed into the table, or it crashed into the part. I've broken off bits that were 3/4 inch in radius, solid steel, just broke them in half while it hit the table. And what happens is the head of that router gets out of center. And so there's a minute wobble in it, and it doesn't run right. And what you have to do is call in maintenance to sweep that head, is what they call it, to get it back centered to where it belongs. Life causes our hearts sometimes to get out of balance, to become uncentered on the focus or the central one that we are to be in balance with. And so you call maintenance. And here I want you to call attention to these five things to recenter your heart so that you can say all is well. Five things. First of all, in this passage, it seems they were fretting, and he told them, don't fret for this reason. it's not always going to be this way. He was fretting over the wicked, the evildoers. And throughout the passage, he tells them that you need to realize the end of the wicked. That is, you need to realize that it's not always going to be this way. He says, they shall soon be cut down like the grass, in verse 2. In verse 9, evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait on the Lord, they'll inherit the earth. Verse 12, the wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth, but the Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The trouble is not always going to be this way. It's not always going to look this way. There is an end to it, is a principle that we can draw out of this. Verse 17, for the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. Verse 20a says, but the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. Verse 35, he says, I've seen the wicked in great power, spreading himself like a green bay tree, yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. It's not always going to be like this. You may think that your trouble is never going to get away. You may think that things are never going to change in this world. But they are. And they will. There is a way. And there is a time and a season for all things. Verse 36, it said about the wicked, lo, he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yet I sought him, but couldn't be found. And then verse 38, but the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. First thing we need to realize is, realize the end of the wicked. Realize that it's not always going to be like this. There is a day of reckoning. The time of trouble has an end. We must all, every one of us, stand at the judgment seat of God. And there are two categories of people that stand at the judgment seat of God, and there's two different judgment seats of God, right? The first is found in Revelation. Now, you might say, this is a terrible message to hear about trouble and judgment on Mother's Day. I don't know about you, but I was more afraid of my mother to receive discipline from her than my father. I don't know why it was. That was in the days when kids got disciplined. You know what I'm talking about, right? The Board of Education and that board hurt, right? But I want to remind us this morning, it's not always going to be this way. This trouble is not always going to be this way. There is an end. There is a judgment to come. And I'm worried about these people this morning. In Revelation 20, he said, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And listen, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's awful judgment. In the psalmist, he talks about the end of the wicked and the judgment. Rachel flew here yesterday and was talking to a fellow on the plane who didn't believe in that there would be a God that would send someone to eternal punishment, the lake of fire. And that's how you handle, some people handle that. They don't like it, so they just don't want to believe in that. But my friend, listen. There is a real place called the lake of fire. And Jesus Christ has come to deliver you from that place. He has come to deliver us from the wrath of God to come. And I'm worried about those people whose names are not written this morning in the book of life. Is your name in the book of life? Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in his death for your sins. Believe that he is the only way to God. Believe that when he was on the cross, he took your iniquity upon him and was punished by his Father. But then he rose again the third day, and he says, whosoever believeth in me should not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you believed in him this morning? There is an end to the day of the wicked. It's not always going to be that way. And I pray, if you have never trusted Jesus Christ this morning, that you would throw yourself upon him for mercy. Be like the penitent sinner. Oh God, have mercy upon me. You come as you are, and he'll change you to be what he wants you to be. But there's also a judgment seat for believers. It's not the same judgment seat to determine whether they'll go to heaven or not, but it's a judgment seat nevertheless, and it's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And he says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, Paul says to them, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust are made manifest in your conscience. He said, I remember there's going to be a day when I stand before Almighty God. It was said of Jesus in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. It says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Listen, it was a time of trouble that David was writing about here. It was a time of tribulation. It was a time of narrowness and straight and tight and hard living. And the wicked were prospering. And the first thing he says to get back in balance is realize the end of the wicked. Don't envy them. Don't want to be like them. I don't envy them. I don't want their death. The Lord is not pleased in the death of sinners. He is long-suffering that none should perish. So he waits to come back. But realize this principle. It will not always be like this. It'll not always be like this. Your trouble will not always be like this. But then how do you restore and calm the upset heart? And then he gives these five principles. How do you restore? You realize, first of all, the plight of the wicked, that it's not always going to be this way. And then you have your heart restored. You get it back in balance. And so he says these five things. Trust in the Lord. Each one of these five things is about the Lord. Notice that? Trust in the Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Wait on the Lord. How do you restore an upset heart? You get back in balance in relationship with the Lord. He says, you are in a relationship with God. And you need to do these five things. First of all, trust. Trust. Have confidence. To be secure. To feel safe. To attach oneself to. To rely on. We can relax when we know that God is in control. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge or make him known. He will direct your paths. You see, in the time of trouble, we forget to trust. We forget to trust that this trial that comes into our life has slipped through the providential, sovereign fingers of Almighty God. who has allowed this to happen in our life. Oftentimes we want to get people out of trouble. They come to us with their trouble and we want to help them get out of that trouble as quickly as you can. There's nothing wrong with wanting to get out of the trouble. But I think we need to stay in the trouble until we've learned the lessons that God would have for us in that crucible, in that trial of our faith. More on that a little later. Trust. How is your trust life this morning? Over and over, the psalmist said, trust. Oh, listen to what Psalm 22 says. Psalm 22, verse 4 and 5. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. I'm always amazed at Rahab the harlot. Jericho trusted in God to save her. Her house was in the wall. What was going to fall? The walls. But she trusted in the God of the Israelites. If you look at her testimony, what a woman of faith to trust in Him. And it says here, our fathers trusted in thee. Sarah trusted in God. Husband, where are we traveling to? I don't know. We're just traveling. What do you mean we're going to have a child? We're past that, man. Don't you know? But they trusted. She believed God, Sarah did, and trusted in Him, that He would be faithful to His promises. They trusted in God. But as I was reading this over, I realized something about trust. This is a passage about Jesus and how He trusted in His Father. And it starts with, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Jesus quoted this on the cross. He entrusted Himself to His Father. It says in Luke, Luke was the only one that brought this out, that He entrusted His Spirit to His Father. Into thy hands commit my spirit. Jesus, in the midst of His pain and suffering, learned obedience through the things that He suffered. He learned to trust His Father, even when it seemed like He forsook Him. In our trials, our troubles, does it not seem like God is not there? Does it seem like that? You go through a trial, and God seems far away. God seems like He's not there, or He doesn't care about us. And I don't know what your situation is right now. It may be a broken relationship. It may be children that don't want to walk in the ways of God, and it just burdens your heart. It may be a loss of a job. It may be whatever. It may be the loss of health. It may be a loss of wealth. And it seems like God is so far away. And even Jesus cries out in His humanity. He knew all the others were going to forsake Him. And here He cries out, my God, why have You forsaken me? There comes a time in our life where it seems like God forsakes us. And then someone comes along and puts their arm around you and says, oh, brother, sister, you just need to have more faith. And we do need to come along each other. But we need to come along in comfort with words of grace and just be there for them. We don't have to fix each other's troubles, but we do need to help each other. and comfort each other. That's what the body is about. That's what family's about. It says in the 23rd Psalm, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they do comfort me." The word of God and the Spirit of God, they do comfort me. You know what one of the names of the Spirit is? The Spirit of the living God? The Comforter. Jesus said, "I'm going to send the Comforter. He's going to come alongside you. Put his arm, so to speak, around you and carry you. You'll never leave us nor forsake us," Jesus said. "I'll fear no evil because you're there in the midst with me." Trust. Trusting doesn't mean that we have a carefree life. Trusting doesn't mean that everything goes easy all the time. Trusting means that you will put your hand in his hand and do the second thing. You'll then delight yourself in him. Trust in him. Oh, I loved what it said about trusting in Psalm 31, verse 14. Psalm 31, "But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from them that persecute me." Psalm 33, verse 18 says, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord, for he is our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name." And then one of my favorite psalms. What do you do when you're overwhelmed? What do you do when trouble comes your way? This is what you do. Psalm 62, verse 8, "Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." Trust in him. Pour out your heart before him. When your heart is overwhelmed, may it be led to the rock that is higher than you. Those that know thy name trust in you. Psalm 9:10. So our first admonition is to trust. Don't worry, the others won't be as long. Second, the second thing we need to do in times of trouble is delight ourselves in the Lord. What happens is we get distracted with what's going around on around us. We get distracted with our trouble. It overwhelms us. It consumes our thinking. It will then not only consume our thinking, but change our physical well-being. "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." Your thinking is so important. And so he points them to start now delighting in the Lord. Delight in him. Is God your delight this morning? You see, we can get so focused on this, the trouble that is there, that we forget to focus on being a delight, on him being a delight. What are we delighting in? Is God the apple of our eye? And as I was preparing this, I had a situation come across my path at work where it was difficult. I'm a lead person at work and have people under me, and one was very angry with me. And that troubles me when someone is angry with me. And the soul got all upset, and I lost a few nights sleeping because I was worried about this individual and how to be reconciled to him and worried about him and worried about this situation. And all of a sudden I realized, hold on, I'm studying about trusting. I'm studying about delighting. And so I started doing this. The situation didn't leave, but the worry did. He didn't take me out of the situation, but he brought me through the situation. Start delighting in God. The Song of Solomon said, "I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste." Delighting has to be with the love of our heart. It has to do with our affections. Delight yourself in the Lord. I love being married. I love being married to my wife. Almost 35 years now. To some, that's not very much, but to others, it's a lot. But I like being with her. I come home late at night. I work till 1:30 in the morning. I come home, and my ritual is I snuggle up behind her, and I will kiss her shoulder, and then I will pray and bless her. She's just a blessing to me. I delight in her. How much more to delight ourselves in God who loves us? Could you imagine? There's a God that loves you. And He delights in you. And we are to reciprocate that and delight ourselves in Him. Paul said in Colossians 3, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. In relationship. This passage is all about being in relationship. It's all about quieting the noisy soul. There's a good series on that by a professor. I think he was at a BJU, wasn't it? Quieting the Noisy Soul. Terrific series. This is about quieting the noisy soul. Delight yourself in God that loves you. The third thing he tells them, commit your way unto the Lord. Commit your life unto Him. Commit your ways unto Him. Commit your behavior unto Him. Commit what you're going through unto Him. Be fully committed to Him. The word means to be rolled down together. Our life is to be wrapped up into His life. We're to roll our troubles onto Him because they're too big for us. We're to roll our trials unto Him. Roll your way unto God. Take no thought for your life. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct thy paths. We are to trust in the Lord. We're to delight ourselves in the Lord, but we're to commit our way, our life to Him. God, do you see the situation I'm in here? Commit your living to Him. Acknowledge Him. And trust also in Him, and He'll bring it to pass. And then fourthly, he says, rest. And I could expand on these, but I see the clock is rolling. Rest. Trust, delight, commit, and rest. I think rest is my favorite in all of these. But you know what? Maybe you need commit. Maybe it's time for you to commit your ways to God. Maybe you need to start delighting. Maybe you need to start trusting. I love rest. Now, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently. And this is rolled up with the fifth one. Wait on the Lord and keep His ways. How many people here love to wait? Love to be patient? Love to just wait for God to do something? Love to wait outside Walmart? Well, you know what I mean. Wait. Rest. Ah. Now the heart is back to where it should be. It's resting in the God that tailor-made these trials for me to mold me into the image of His Son. Rest. Rest. Learn what you need to learn about who He is in the trial of your faith. Don't run out of that trial or try to get out of it until you've learned to rest. Resting, waiting, be silent. Literally, it means be silent. Remember the verse that said, be still and know what? That I am God. Be still. We don't like to be still. But folks, somehow in our life, every day, we need to have a moment, a time of stillness where we hear from God. That's called devotions, where we rest and we pray and we hear and we listen. Isaiah said, "His rest will be glorious." Jeremiah said, "Here's the way to rest." Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. "Thus says the Lord, stand you in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find" what? "Rest for your soul." You see, he's describing a person that's not at rest internally. He's all upset. He's not content. He doesn't like what God, or she doesn't like what God is doing in their life. What's happening? Just turbulent inside, not at rest with people and not at rest with God. "Seek the old paths and the good way and walk therein, and you shall find rest unto your souls." But the sad thing is they said, "We will not walk therein." Isaiah said the same thing. In Isaiah 30, verse 15, he told them the way of rest. In Isaiah 30, verse 15, he said, "For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and you would not." Listen, folks, there is a rest that God wants to give you, a peace that God wants to give you. In Hebrews, I'm just reading through Hebrews, it says you are to labor for rest. Well, that doesn't sound very restful, laboring. You're to labor. But I love what our Lord Jesus said, and I'm almost going to close with this. Notice that little word, almost. You see, you're only getting me once today. And it said in your bulletin that was a treat for Mom. There was no afternoon service. That's what it said, right? A treat for Mom. Well, I said treat Mom. But it was a treat that she didn't have to listen to me twice. So, but I love what Jesus said in Matthew 11. You know, I make light of this, but we go through these times of trials and trouble. And Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." I will give you rest. Rest comes in the presence of Jesus. Rest comes because he's there in the trial. Rest does not come from him taking us out of the trial of faith, but it comes in the trial. And his name is Jesus. And he says, "Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find" what? "Rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Wait on the Lord and he shall save thee." Wait on the Lord and keep his way. Stay in the trial, for you will find Jesus to be sweeter in the trial than in the day of ease. Isn't that true? So many of the hymns, the old hymns, were written out of times of trial and tribulation and hardships. Now the new songs are written because they're under contract and they need 5 more songs this year or whatever. These old ones were written out of trials. That's why maybe they speak to us so much. Don't be so quick to leave the trouble that God has sent your way. For you will find him to be sweeter as the days go by in that time. Now, I'm not for trouble, nor do I like being in trouble, nor do I like it when trouble comes. But if that's what it takes to mold me into the image of Jesus, to make me more like him, so I can be a blessing in this world, then so be the will of God in my life. These five things: trust, delight, commit, rest, and then wait. And you will find him to be everything you needed him to be. Heavenly Father, just a wonderful God you are today. And I don't know where these people are, what kind of troubles in their life. You laid this message on my heart for some reason. And I pray it'd be a blessing to someone. I pray that you will teach us. Teach us these five things, Lord. Because surely we are going to be living in the days of trouble. We already are. And so we pray that you would glorify yourself in our lives. We pray that, Father, you would meet us in the valley of the shadow of death as we travel through this life. That you would comfort us so that we could be a blessing to other people and would enjoy you and glorify you in this and through it. Lord, thank you for these people. Please bless them. Thank you for their pastor and his wife. Bless them, that they would know how much you love them today and how much you care for them. And may you strengthen each one in Jesus' precious name.